had established it. Now, there was different offerings that were in this ceremonial or Levitical law. And here's what it says in Leviticus chapter 7. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering. Now, everyone's familiar now with peace, right? Why did the people bring the sacrifice to the temple? But why? That's what they did. But why did they do it? For their what? Okay, but their sins, for their sins, but what was the problem with their sins? Well, and then they didn't have peace with God. In other words, they needed to have peace with God. Because if you're not at peace with God, you are at war or an enemy of God. So it says, here's what it says, if he offer, and this is the law of sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord, if he offer it for a thanksgiving offering, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil and fine flour and fried. In other words, what should accompany being at peace with God? I was about ready to leave y'all. Yeah, I was going to go over here and see if they're listening. Listen, should we not be thankful that we're no longer at war with God? The only war we have now is the war with the flesh. But we can win that war because we have peace with God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Listen, when you've got peace with God, you're not at war with God, you ought to be thankful to God. Why? Y'all thought I wouldn't say that, did you? Why? Why should you be thankful? Well, that's true. Why should you be thankful? Well, that's true. But why should you be thankful? What? Well, that's true, but why should you be thankful? Huh? That's true, but why should you be thankful? What was you saying? You were saying something. What did my assistant say? Oh. That's why she's my assistant. She's just like me. So why should you be thankful? Well, let me, what did John say? Well, that's true. That's certainly something to be thankful for, isn't it? But that's just a benefit of, which is, thank you, brother. But why should you be thankful?
Because he chose you.
That's true, but why should you be thankful? That's true, but why should you be thankful? Huh? What'd you say?
I don't know.
You said because he said to.
I know.
Well, that's true, but why should you be thankful?
We're to be thankful in everything.
Well, that's true, but why should you be thankful? I'll tell you why you should, because I'm running out of time.
What?
Because only God could make you at peace with him. You could do nothing, you could say nothing, you could be nothing that would cause you to be at peace with him. Remember Abraham. You remember the promise. You remember the covenant. Abraham never walked between the sacrifice with God. He was asleep. If God don't make it so that you are at peace with him, you have nothing to be thankful for, because you are at war with him and you'll lose. So the reason we're to be thankful is because only God could make it possible. All those other things you said were true. They're true, but they're benefits. They're benefits at being at peace with God. Now, back to Romans chapter 5. I'm still in Leviticus chapter 7, but I'll turn over in a minute. I'm just going to talk for a while. Romans chapter 5. Now, you remember how it starts out, don't you? Don't look. Look towards me. Don't look. I don't want you to look. I want you to know it. I want you to know it. That says watch, therefore. He says, therefore, and then it takes you back, right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Thank you, brother. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also we have access by faith into what? Wrong, right. You see, you were right, but your right would be wrong. Because that definitive word is there for a reason. It's not just to take up space so that the lines come out a certain way. You have access into this. Now, what does this mean? Thank you. That's why we call it the definitive article. It defines the grace. It's not just any grace. It's this grace. Well, this means that since it's defining grace, he's already talked about grace, right? I mean, otherwise it sort of wouldn't make any sense to say this grace if he already hadn't talked about grace. So where did he talk about grace previously? Let your little wheels start. Okay. All right, let's talk. See, I love it when you have that look on your face, because I can help you. Not I can. Oh, look. I pray all week, God, get me out of the way. Just teach through me. Let's all grow together in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, right? So, what does grace mean? I gave you a word. Starts with F. Next letter's A. No. Next letter's V. Thank you. Here's what it means. Becky, you got them big eyes. That means you're... God, what was he talking about? It means that God did you a favor. That's what grace is. God did you a favor. Well, when he says this grace, he must have already talked about the favor that he did for you. Remember, I told you only could have peace with him because of him, right?
Right.
Well, so the grace, the favor, must relate to that, right? It must be something that only God could do for you. Well, since he says therefore, I guess you have to read them last. Remember, I've told you this. You have to read those previous verses. But there's one. there's one that describes that favor. He says that he was delivered for our, it's the last verse of the previous chapter. He was delivered for our
offense.
Give me a synonym for offenses right now. What does this mean? If I'd have wanted this, I'd have said this. No, don't help her.
I didn't hear what they said.
What was my question? What?
Synonym for the word offense.
See, so you do hear fine, don't you?
No, I didn't.
What is the synonym for offenses?
Sin.
To miss the mark. To come up short. He's going to describe it further in just a minute, and I'll get there. But the favor was this. He was delivered from my sin. Now, the reason only God could do it was because... Nobody else could. Now, how do I know that, Becky?
The Bible tells us.
Were. Don't you say all over.
All through the Bible, it does, Tom.
Well, but a specific place.
John 3:16.
Well, that's a good one, but that's not where it is. You remember in Revelation, chapter 5. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to tell you what it says. You remember that... It starts out with God being on the throne, and in his hand is the title deed to the earth. In other words, all that God had given us was in God's hand. And what happened? Well, they searched heaven, they searched earth, and they searched under the earth for a man that was able. The word able means have the power. For a man that has the power to go up to the throne and take out of the hand of God the title deed to it all. And they couldn't find one anywhere. Now listen, if you search heaven, earth, and under the earth, bless God, there's nowhere else. And we used to have a saying, they turned over every rock trying to find someone. What does that do to John? Oh my, hell, you look that word up. It don't just mean he had a few tears. He broke down like a baby. It broke him because he realized if they couldn't find someone, he was done. But then he hears someone say something. Weep not, John. Stop crying. Stop worrying. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the seed of David. Why does it describe those two words? Why those two definitions? Why? Now, don't drop your head just because I'm coming over here. You's trying to answer, but then when I come over here, why? Why would it describe those things? Well, what were they looking for? Huh? A man! So he says, I'll describe him as a man. Because he'd already been described as the line of the tribe of Judah. What'd that mean? That meant he'd come through the lineage of Israel. And of the seed of David. What does that mean? He'll come through the lineage of the king. But he'll be a man. What was it they said when he was on the cross? Behold the man. It was God up there, honey.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the God man. He had to come that way. Galatians says that in the fullness of time, at the right time, honey, is what that means. At God's time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made as a Jew, made under the law, it said. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might become the adopted children. Ain't that good? That's the favor he did for you. That's the favor he did for me. But he didn't just do it for us folks. Those people that are out there today mocking him. I was watching. On Saturdays, I'm a football man. I stay in my pajamas. I go to my room, my TV room. I get in my recliner. And I love football. But they have a show on ESPN that starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't watch all of it. I watch the very end of it because at the very end they have their predictions of the day. And I like to see how smart they are. But it's called College Game Day. Anybody ever watch it? I didn't think so. I thought I was the only fool in here. But I noticed yesterday at College Game Day, do you know what the biggest sign that they held up was? It was about Jesus and what Jesus had done for us. And you know what I thought? I thought, God, once again, you're demonstrating your love for us. It ain't about a football game. It's not about who wins or loses a football game. It's about who wins or loses life. And they're the biggest sign they could have. And then over here was another sign about Jesus. And back here was another sign about Jesus. I don't know who them people was, bless God, but I could see God saying, look to me! Don't look at a ball game! Look to me! I don't know if they did or not. I hope someone read that. It even gave some scripture you could read. But to me, that's God doing us a favor. So he says that you have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And also, we rejoice in tribulation. For tribulation worketh patience. Remember, I gave you two words that describe that word patience. What was it? Hopeful and joyful endurance. In other words, what are we doing today? Hey, we're waiting. We're waiting on him. Well, while we're waiting on him, we're to be busy for him. But we're not to get so busy that we forget we're waiting. Because our waiting is what motivates our doing. If we don't live like we're waiting, if we don't talk like we're waiting, if we don't walk like we're waiting, what's the world seeing? They're not looking. So he says it gives you a joyful or hopeful endurance. Remember I told you there's a verse that says, he that endureth to the end, the same, that person shall be saved. And then it says, and then that patience worketh experience. Now I gave you one word for that one. Anybody remember it? Starts with a P. Next letter's R. Next letter's O. Next letter's O. Next letter's F, and I'm out of letters. Proof. Listen, when you have a trial in your life, and God brings you through it with that hopeful endurance, that joyful endurance, you know, hey, I know that it's a bad deal, but I'm just waiting. And it's part of the waiting. And then that demonstrates to me a proof. And then he says, for experience worketh hope. Hope means confidence or assurance. So let's put it all together. When you have trials in your life, that causes you to have a joyful and hopeful endurance that will be proof of the confidence and the assurance you have. What's the last two words? Oh, thank you, honey. In Christ. That's where I hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So then he says, in the next verse, what's he say? We're in Romans now. What's he say? Hope, that assurance, that confidence, because he's already told you how you get it, right? That maketh you not ashamed for a certain reason. Because the love of God is shed abroad, or the Greek word means, I wish I had a big bucket or something. I'd pour it out all over you. And then you'd understand what it means. Poured out. Poured out. Our pastor sings a song, I'm drinking out of my saucer because my cup is overflow. Listen, God pours out his love in you. How? Oh, not just any old way, not just some way the world thinks of love. Bless God, he takes the Holy Spirit of God, he puts the Holy Spirit of God in you, and the Holy Spirit of God just starts pouring out that love on you. Would you say that's a good favor? Huh? Well, yeah, you know what that word means, don't you? Superabundant, more than abundant, more than just an increase. It's superabundant. And then he says, he talks about the reason and the demonstration of that love. For he says, for while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. I want you to think about that, honey. You were ungodly. Your children, your grandchildren, if they're at the age of accountability, they're ungodly unless they are in Christ. But he says that while the whole world, while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And then he says, oh, in case you're thinking, well, I knew a guy one time that gave his life. I knew a fireman that run into a building and gave his life. Listen, I was in battle. I saw a few guys that lost their lives trying to help others. I get it. But I know what God says here. He says, well, for scarcely would a man give his life for a righteous man. In other words, a guy that in our eye, in the world's eyes, seems right. You know, maybe. Or he says, or pre-adventure. Or maybe. He might even give his life for a
good man. But not a wretched.
But what's wrong with that? You say, Tom, that's scripture. There's nothing wrong with it. I know. What's wrong with the thinking there by the world? Huh? Well, I'm talking about scripturally, honey. We have to think scripturally. See, he's not talking about anything that he's not already talked about. You remember over in chapter 3 in the indictment? He said this. He said, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none good. They have all gone out of. So if God says there's none righteous and there's none good, you might think you're dying for a righteously good man, but you're not. But then it says this, but God. That as opposed to this. But God commendeth his love. The word commendeth. Let's stop there just a second. What do you think that means?
Demonstrate.
Demonstrate. I go back to the big sign. I don't know how many millions of people watches that show. Maybe I'm the only one, but I doubt it. I don't know how many people watch it, but I can tell you this, God put his love on full display when he had them people raise that sign up about his son and tell him, bless God, this is the way. For God commendeth. He puts it, listen, it's like a big billboard on the side of the road. You just can't miss it. He says, for God commendeth his love in that while we were yet sinners. Now, you are either a sinner or a saint. You're never both. I know that song says, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But once I got saved, I'm no longer a sinner, my friend. I know people thinks and says, oh, we're just all sinners. No, bless God, we're not. Listen, God don't make you a saint and leave you a sinner. That don't happen. Because he died for us while we were yet sinners. And if his blood, well, I'll show you that in just a second. I've got another verse coming. These other verses in here. He says, for while we were yet sinners. Now think about this. Ungodly sinners. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it says something else. In the next verse, it talks about not just being ungodly and not just being sinners. It says, for when we were yet enemies of God, He reconciled us. He reconciled us. Think about that. When I was in Vietnam, and I'm fighting the enemy, what was I trying to do? I was trying to kill them. What were they trying to do? Why? They didn't know me.
They were told to.
Well, they were my enemy. I was their enemy. Well, what should God have done to His enemies? Now you're getting it. Now you're starting to get it. He should have killed every one of us with His enemies. Oh, you'll start picking this up in a minute if you'll follow me. But while you were yet His enemy, He didn't want to kill you. Bless God, He wanted to give you life. Huh? He reconciled us unto God. That's a pretty good favor, wouldn't you say? I think so. But you know, only God was capable of that. Nobody else. Only God. Only His love was that great. That's why Titus says this in Titus chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. In Titus chapter 3, it says this, for not by works of righteousness which we have done. Oh, here it comes now. But by His mercy He hath saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to hang out there just a second now if you don't care. What that says, I'm going to paraphrase it for you. There's nothing you could do for yourself. You could do all the good works in the world, but there's no good works that can save you. But His mercy will. And His mercy will do two things for you. Now, what is it He told Nicodemus? Honey, you can't just say that under you.
You must be born again.
Thank you. Thank you. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. That's the standard, right? Well, what was Nicodemus' answer? How? How in the world can I meet such? Can I enter again into my mother's womb? Well, no, you're thinking the wrong birth, son. You got to be born from above. How? If that's my standard, if that's how it has to be, how do I get there? Oh, He says, it's His mercy. He says, it's His mercy. You know what mercy means, don't you? Mercy looks down on somebody, bless God, that can't help themselves. Oh, yeah, without strength. Isn't that what that says? Mercy looks down on somebody that's impotent. Oh, wasn't that what the man at the pool had? Wasn't that his problem? Oh, wasn't that what the man at the temple, wasn't that his problem? Bless God, he couldn't get up and get in the temple himself. There's both without strength. But here come mercy. Hallelujah. Here come mercy. He says, for by His mercy He has saved us, delivered us. And the saved means two things. The washing of regeneration means born again. That's why I say you're not a saint that's a sinner. And you're not a sinner that's a saint. Bless God, you're one or the other. You're either the sinner or you're the saint. You're one of the two. But if you are saved by His mercy, bless God, you're born again. That's what it means, washing of regeneration. That means, and then He says this, and the renewing. Now, I can tell you about renewing. Oh, can I tell you about renewing?